We are privileged to have Brother Stephen Simpson here to bring the message this morning. I've been praying for you collectively for this time, including those who are joining us by live stream. There's something about the proclamation of the word that is central to why we gather here, to lift up the name of Christ for sure with our voices, but also to learn. Brother Simpson really started his ministry there in Florida, Faith Baptist Church, as part of the staff, and God moved him into this developing ministry of Faith Baptist Mission, and he serves as the director of that mission. He's a partner with us in caring for Faye. And he and his wife, Nikki, actually four kids that originally were going to be part of the trip aren't here, but we do have pictures of them. So you can at least see their pictures and become familiar with them, at least in some small way. But before Brother Simpson comes and shares what the Lord's placed on his heart, let's pray. That song was more than just something to sing. It was a declaration of our need, our dependence on Him. Father in heaven, we know that Your plan is to use Your word in our lives. We know that You have given us a mission. We call it the Great Commission. We understand that there are implications for each of us because we're Your followers. And yet, even in today's setting and sound of this message, there may be some who are yet sorting, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? I pray that Your Spirit would be at work in us, that You would equip us, yes, that You would shape us into the image of Your Son. We know that that's the power of the word. And we ask that as we listen, we'd respond to Your prompting. Lord, I understand that there are some who serve around the globe as missionaries, and yet the mission is given to each of us. So regardless of our location, regardless of what we're doing currently, we pray that You would cause us to respond, young person and older person alike. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I want to say thank you for inviting me to be with you this week. I also want to say thank you for your partnership. This church has partnered with Faye and Pete for many, many years. And on her behalf, I want to say thank you. You've also partnered with us, with Faith Baptist Mission, and you've supported us generously as well. And I just want to say thank you for that. It is a joy to be with you today. I brought you this nice warm weather from Florida. As Pastor Jack mentioned, the original plan was for me to be here with my whole family. And my wife and I are blessed with four children. And just a few weeks ago, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Abigail, she's 15. She was playing at a friend's house, playing out in the front yard. And she bumped into someone and tore her ACL and the meniscus in her right knee. So she is facing surgery on Friday. And so we thought it would be difficult for her to travel through airports and stuff like that. Then we had a visitor come visit us named Hurricane Ian, which was exciting. We lost power for a few days. Thankfully, where I live specifically, there was not a lot of significant damage. But it just disrupted everything. And then right after that, my son, Josiah, he's 10, he was riding his bicycle. Some of you might like to ride your bicycles. Well, he decided to crash into the neighbor's trash can. You know, it jumped out in front of him, I guess. And he fractured his wrist. And So I think the Lord was telling us that my family needed to stay home and not travel to Wisconsin, but they were very disappointed, and they wish they would much rather be here. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can see from your bulletin, the theme of our conference this week is Ambassadors for Christ in central Wisconsin and beyond. This morning, I want us to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'd like to read beginning in verse 16. Paul writes these words, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." As we look closely at this phrase, ambassadors for Christ, I think it's helpful for us to define some terms. What is an ambassador? Now, there's kind of an unofficial sense in which we can say so-and-so is an ambassador of such a company or something along those lines. Have any of you ever heard of a man named Aaron Rodgers? Few of you. Anybody like him? Good. I kind of thought there might be some more hands. But then I've later learned that some of you might be Minnesota Vikings fans. Somebody told me. I used to never like a man named Tom Brady, but then he moved to Florida, and he joined my team, the Buccaneers, so I'm a Tom Brady fan, at least on Sundays when he's playing football. Aaron Rodgers, we could say, is an ambassador for the Green Bay Packers. He represents the Packers. We could give lots of examples like that. There's also a more official sense in which we use the word ambassador when we're speaking of like one country's relationship to another, where a country will send an accredited diplomat, so to speak, as its official representative to another foreign country. And so you'll hear some things like, so-and-so is the ambassador to Mali, the United States ambassador to Mali, or the ambassador to another country. Now, being an ambassador has a few privileges. One of the things that would appeal to me is they have someone that drives them around everywhere they go. That would be nice. Often they get to live in a really nice house. Years ago, I had the privilege of going to a party on the 4th of July at the U.S. ambassador's house in London. That was a pretty neat thing. He had a really big fancy house, and that would be a nice privilege. There's another privilege that foreign ambassadors have that's known as diplomatic immunity. Have you ever heard of this? So countries give this to each other's ambassadors. So it's kind of a reciprocal thing where the foreign ambassador, it's a principle of international law by which certain foreign government officials are recognized as having legal immunity from the jurisdiction of another country. Those are fancy words. That says basically the ambassador can break the law in that country and he won't be punished. And the country says, we'll give that to your ambassador if you then give that to our ambassador when he's in your country. So some countries have weird laws, like Singapore has some strange laws about chewing gum and different things. And if the ambassador breaks that law, he's okay. One of the oddest examples I heard was of this diplomatic immunity is in New York City. The United Nations holds their meetings in New York City. And so you have foreign ambassadors, foreign people from all over the world that come to New York City. Well, they just park their cars wherever they feel like it. And the New York City police will write them a ticket, but then they don't have to do anything about it. They don't have to pay the ticket because of diplomatic immunity. And so at one point in time, New York City had like $14 million in unpaid parking fines, parking tickets, and they couldn't enforce it. They couldn't really go after the people because of diplomatic immunity. Now, if you do research online, you'll find some really horrific stories of awful things diplomats did, and they also were excused, or they got off because of diplomatic immunity. Sometimes people take advantage of that. Now, at the same time, not every place that an ambassador is assigned, not every posting they receive is a pleasant place. Some of them are really nice, big fancy house, a nice country, lots of touristy things to do. Today, I would not want to be the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine and have to go live there. I sympathize with the Ukrainian people. That would be a dangerous place to go live. At the same time, I would not want to be the U.S. ambassador to Russia. I feel like they would be hostile towards me. They would not like to see me coming with an American flag on my car. Some places where ambassadors go are hostile. They are unfriendly. It's enemy territory, so to speak. All of this helps us understand the word ambassador that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians. We also see examples of this in the Old Testament. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, you'll see repeatedly where messengers were sent, where God would send a prophet to deliver a message. We see envoys and mediators that are used to deliver messages on behalf of someone else. We see in the book of Joshua where the Gibeonites sent messengers to Joshua to deceive him into making peace with them and not attacking them. We see in 2 Kings 16, King Ahaz sent messengers to the king of Assyria to say, help us, we're being attacked. We'll send you money, you come help us fight against our enemies. And we see again in 2 Kings 18, King Hezekiah is being attacked by the king of Assyria, and that king who's attacking sends a messenger to Hezekiah who basically says, we're coming and you're all going to die. So we see this idea of an ambassador even in the Old Testament. They are sent, they deliver a message, they're given a message to deliver. And all of this helps us to understand this phrase, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now this morning, as we look at the phrase here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I've structured our time around four simple questions that I think will help us understand what Paul is teaching. The first question is this: who is an ambassador for Christ? In other words, when Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, who is the we? Who is included? I believe all believers are included in that statement. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ here today, you are an ambassador for Christ. I also believe only followers of Jesus Christ are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, if you're not a believer today, if you don't follow Jesus, then you can't be his ambassador. In reality, you're an ambassador for someone else. But as believers, we are all ambassadors for Christ. And this should make sense. If you think about it, if someone called you and said, well, I'd like you to be the ambassador for this country, you know, if the King of England called me and said, hey, I'd like you to be my ambassador to China or whatever, I would say, I'm not qualified. I'm not from your country. I'm not loyal to your country. I'm an American, right? I'm not qualified to represent a different country. I am qualified to be an ambassador for Christ because I'm a Christian, because I'm a follower of Jesus. Because of what Paul writes in verse 18, he writes, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I have been reconciled to God because of Jesus Christ. Christ worked in me to bring me to God, and because of that, I can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So who is an ambassador for Christ? We are. As believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, there's a sense in which this is the most important question we're asking today. When I ask you, are you an ambassador for Christ? If you say no, then really what you're telling me is you're lost. You're telling me you don't know Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, as we'll see later, I would plead with you, be reconciled to God today through his Son, Jesus Christ. The second question I want us to see this morning in this passage is, who are we representing? You see, an ambassador represents someone else. An ambassador speaks on behalf of someone else. They're not there promoting themselves. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be there promoting their own agenda or promoting their own message. They're giving a message and they're representing someone else. So who are we representing? Jesus Christ. And who is he? Well, he is one who demonstrates powerful love. We see that in verse 14. Paul writes, for the love of Christ controls us. This is the idea. This is Christ's love for Paul. Not Paul's love for Christ. It's Christ's love for Paul that controls him, that restrains him, that compels him. What else do we know about Christ? We know that he made an amazing sacrifice. Verses 14 and 15, we read that he died for all. Jesus Christ is one who gave his life for us. That's who we represent. We see that he was more than just a man. Paul writes in verse 16, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Paul is saying, at one point, I thought Jesus was just a man. At one point in my life, Paul says, I thought he was just some crazy guy. And we know this from the New Testament. Paul went around persecuting believers, persecuting followers of Jesus, until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then Paul would write, we regard him thus no longer. I've come to see he was more than just a man. This is who we represent. We also see that the one we represent, Jesus, is the ultimate peace maker, because he brings peace between us and God. He reconciles us to God. We see this at verse 18 and 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. We also know about Christ that he was perfect, and he is perfect. He never, ever sinned. He never said a bad word. He never had a bad thought. He never had a bad attitude. He never did anything that was sinful. We see this in verse 21. For our sake, he, this is God, made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin. That's Jesus, never sinned one time, and yet God made him to be sin because of us. This is the one we represent. We are representing the one who took all of our sin and put it on his shoulders. This is the one we represent. He's the one who said, I will bear the sins of all the world. And he could. He was worthy to do that because he had never sinned. You see, if I die for you, that won't reconcile you to God, because I'm a sinner. I'm supposed to die. But Jesus was never supposed to die. He never deserved to die. He chose to die because of my sin, so that I could be reconciled to God for all of eternity. And he's the one we represent. Question number two, who are we representing? Jesus Christ. Number three, why? Why do we represent him? Because of who he is and because of what he's done. He is worthy of our loyalty. There is no one greater that we could represent. I want you to think about this. We've had a lot of United States presidents, haven't we? Throughout the history of this country, there have been a lot of presidents. I'm sure you have your favorites, and I have my favorites. Not one of them has ever been perfect. Did you know that? There's never been a perfect U.S. president. They're all sinners. They're all fallen. Even our favorites have done things that make us cringe. They've all had moments that we would be ashamed of. They've all done things that if we were their ambassador to some other country, we would be ashamed. That's not true of Jesus. We have never had a reason to be ashamed of Jesus. There are some presidents, all of them, that have had their moments where I would be ashamed to represent them. I've never been ashamed of Jesus Christ. He has only been honorable. He has only been full of integrity. Always. He's never sinned. I've never had to worry, I wonder what Jesus is going to do today and if I'll still be able to represent him. I've never had to worry about, will I be proud of him? Will I be proud to say I'm a follower of Jesus? Do you think about that? Why do we represent Jesus? Because he is worthy. Because of who he is. And because of what he's done. Verse 15 tells us he died for all. Why? That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. What has Jesus done? He has loved us. He has sacrificed himself for us. He has reconciled us to God. He has died for us. We read in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And because of that, we should represent him. We should be his ambassador. We also see a beautiful picture of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. The question is, why do we represent him? Because of what he has done. And what has he done? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 3, we read, he, this is Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, what has Jesus done? He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. That's talking about us being reconciled to God. We have peace with God through all of these things that Christ endured. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Why do we represent Jesus? This is why. Because of what he's done for us. It's our privilege. It's our joy. It's our obligation. It's our responsibility to represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Question number 4. What is our message? Ambassadors carry a message. I've said this before. They don't carry their own message. They don't get to make it up. They don't get to say, well, the president of the United States has said you need to buy me a brand new car. I mean, they don't just get to make things up on the spot. They carry a message that they have been given. They deliver the message that they have received. That could be a message of peace, of friendship. It could be a message of judgment is coming. It could be a warning. It could be counsel, advice. However, as ambassadors for Christ, we have one message to deliver. It's found in verse 20. Paul writes, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So this is God's appeal. What is it? He makes it through us. Keep reading. We implore you, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our message. As an ambassador of Christ, as an ambassador for Christ, our message to those we see, to those we interact with is this: be reconciled to God. Now you may say, well, what does that mean? It means a lot of things. It means you're not reconciled to God. Right? That's what we say to the world around us. We say, you and I are sinners, and our sin has separated us from God. We are not reconciled. We are opposed to each other. We are separated. And there is nothing I can do on my own to make peace with God. And so then we plead and we say, but friend, you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you. He took your sin and put it on his shoulders and went to the cross for you. Believe in him today. Trust Christ today. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is your Lord and you will be saved. That's our message. Now, there are some who say, I'm an ambassador for Christ, but they give different messages. Sometimes we hear people say, God loves you. And that's true, isn't it? I don't want you to hear me say that's not true. That absolutely is true. But that's not our message. Our message doesn't stop there. Too many people say, God loves you. Did you watch the football game yesterday? And they move on to something else. Our message is, God loves you. And you need to be reconciled to God. Some people give a message and they say, well, God just wants you to be happy. Some people say, well, God wants to bless you. As ambassadors for Christ, we have a message. And that message is, be reconciled to God. Now, I want you to recognize what Paul says here. We are ambassadors. So as a believer, this isn't a choice. My message today is not here calling you to say, yes, I'll be an ambassador for Christ. Now, I am preaching that in the sense of, if you don't know Christ, come to Christ today. But if you're a believer, I'm not asking you to be an ambassador for Christ today. I'm telling you, you already are. This isn't, we can be ambassadors, we should be ambassadors. This is, we are. And just as I said earlier, there are ambassadors from all the different countries in the world, and they do all these great things. Some of them are awful. There are horrible ambassadors that have gone to other countries and done horribly unspeakable things. There are other ambassadors that are just lazy. You know, they get this nice, comfy position and they go and they take advantage of their government's money and they live a really nice life. So let's transfer that to us as ambassadors for Christ. What kind of ambassador are you? Are you lazy? Are you doing the work of the ambassador? Are you delivering the message? Now, there's 1,000 ways we can deliver that message, but are we delivering that message? Are you taking advantage of spiritual diplomatic immunity? Here's what I mean. I think there's some Christians And I'm a Christian like this that believe in the eternal security of the believer. What that means is I have assurance of my salvation. There's nothing that can be done that will cause me to lose my salvation. No one can take me out of the hand of God. But some believers say, well, I'm a Christian, and I know I can't lose my salvation, so I'm going to take advantage of that and go do whatever I want to do. It's what I would call spiritual diplomatic immunity. They think there's no consequences. Well, friend, there are consequences. You may not lose your salvation, but you're not being a faithful ambassador. You're not honoring the one who gave his life for you. So don't be like that. This morning, I challenge you. What kind of ambassador are you? And if you're here today, let me say this again. And you might openly say to me, I'm not an ambassador for Christ because I'm not a follower of Jesus. Well, friend, I beg you, I implore you, as Paul wrote, be reconciled to God. That's the only way to have true peace in this life. To have peace with God is to be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today for Jesus Christ. Lord, it is a privilege, it is an honor, it is an obligation, it is a responsibility we have to be his ambassador. Help us to faithfully deliver his message. Help us to be faithful ambassadors. Help us to tell the people in central Wisconsin, in central Florida, and wherever we go, to be reconciled to God. I pray, Father, that we would never be ashamed or afraid to give that message. Give us the courage and the boldness to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do appreciate the message that was brought to us out of that section of Scripture. You know, the theme was not just a random idea. It really takes us back to the spring of this year, April, May, into June. We had those Sunday evenings. You remember the video series that we were unpacking about how do we engage our neighbors with the love of Christ? The idea of ambassador is truly a scriptural, biblical concept. And you remember that as we unpack that, we were saying even our very homes then become embassies of the kingdom. A place where people can get the help they need. If you are in a foreign country and you need help because things are difficult, you go to the embassy because they can help you. If you're seeking political asylum from one of those oppressive countries because it's just terrible, you come to the embassy because they may be able to get you what is going to rescue you. You see the parallel? We're representing a different kingdom, but we're placed in a hostile environment. And so the very application of this theme takes us right back to our streets, the very spots where God has placed us as his ambassador to be available to take the message of reconciliation to the people on your street or the people at your workplace, the ones that that you touch that may never come here to listen to a message on the gospel. That's why being an ambassador means we're going to do it in central Wisconsin and, yes, beyond. I trust that you will do what you can to be here for this conference. 6 o'clock tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6:30. We've got about an hour and a half that we're investing together, and I hope that that is family-friendly enough that you will be able to get here for some or all of those nights. I trust you will. Before we wrap up here, let me just say, if you want another layer of blessing from our missionaries, let us know that you'd like to offer a meal with them and to enjoy the fellowship there. It will become one of those things that enriches you and your family. We got a few spots left for that. If that is something that you would love to do, it doesn't have to be fancy. I've talked with all these missionaries, and it's not the food. It's just the chance to get acquainted with some of us. At any rate, keep that in mind. If you'd like that opportunity, give us a call here at the office, and we will see what we can do to accommodate that to your schedule.